Moncrief on News Talk.
The word stupid is often thrown around, often unfairly, but that doesn't mean stupidity doesn't exist. Indeed, you could argue that we're now living in a golden age of stupidity. Stuart Jeffries certainly thinks so. He's the author of A Short History of Stupidity. Afternoon, Stuart.
Good afternoon to you, and thanks for letting me expose my boundless witlessness to your listeners.
You're very welcome. Is there a way of defining stupidity as opposed to ignorance or foolishness or being a bit obtuse?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are two ways of defining stupidity. One's relative stupidity, which is like, you know, if you have do an IQ test, I guess, and the average is 100. Below it, you're more likely to be stupid, and you know, higher, they're likely to be more intelligent. I don't really agree with that, because I think IQ tests are a bit stupid themselves. I prefer to go back to Socrates, who, he distinguished between ignorance, which was bad, and the real evil was stupidity, which is an unwillingness to try and overcome your ignorance. So, like, if you don't know something, the worst thing that you can do is not to try and overcome it. And I think, you know, we're in a really stupid position because we're quite glad about being stupid, you know, in lots of our society. And some of our leaders are very happy to manifest stupidity.
Yeah. You're probably familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect, which, and I'm
there you go,
wildly paraphrasing, but there's a cohort of people who are so stupid they don't know they're stupid. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's like. I don't want to get into Donald Trump very quickly, but somebody once asked him, you know, why are you not so humble? Very humble. And he said, you know, you've got no idea how humble I am. I'm a really humble guy. And you just think, a humble brag like that, you know, he's got no self-knowledge. And that's, to me, a form of stupidity. And it's a form of the Dunning-Kruger effect where, you know, you actually think you're better than you are. And there's a lot of that about it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So is it possible then to categorize a person as stupid or just a person who does stupid things?
I think it's like racism, isn't it? You like to think that people aren't racist. You like to think they come up with racist views and that actually they can be talked out of it, you know, that they can be educated out of it. And I think the same is true of stupidity. You know, I don't think you come across people who are, intractably stupid, that they cannot be educated, or it's not even educated, they can't be helped. There's a Ricky Gervais quote who said, if you're dead, you don't know it. And the same is true of stupidity. And, but there's a difference between stupidity and being dead, as you'll have noticed.
Yes.
But the idea is that, you know, if you're stupid, you're still alive, and you can be helped by people to out of it. And honestly, that's what you learn from if you read the ancient philosophers, the ancient Greek philosophers, they just say, I can help you, you know, become more intelligent just by encouraging you to do mental exercises to make yourself more reflective, and think about why you are ignorant and why you aren't challenging yourself. And I think that's what we need a bit more of today, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always been stupidity. Has our view of what stupidity is, has it changed over the years?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I think there's an idea that stupidity is something that's, you know, like the poor, is always with us. And people like Voltaire and Schopenhauer will have said, we can't get rid of stupidity. It's just like definitely there. And that's backed up by that idea on the IQ test. So if you have a, you know, relative stupidity, of course you'll never get rid of stupidity, because some people are always going to be slightly more clever than others. Doesn't necessarily mean you should write them off.
Mm.
You know, and the problem with IQ tests often was in the last century that they were used to justify all kinds of awful things done to people, including, you know, selective breeding. And, you know, there are some awful stories in my lifetime of women in black American women in the US who had hysterectomies forced upon them so that they couldn't breed because their kids, you know, the mothers were deemed to be too witless, and they didn't want the children to be, you know, stupid children to be born. You know, really dark stuff, awful stuff. And in itself, it's a really stupid policy, because the woman I focused on in this book, who she was a clever woman, went on to get a college degree, and the son she'd had born before this hysterectomy, you know, went on to become a successful businessman, you know, completely confounding the stupid use of IQ testing.
Mm. Who invented IQ testing?
It's a Frenchman, a French psychologist called Alfred Binet. And this is about 1903, something like that. And he was called in by the French government to sort of say, can you help kids who are struggling? You know, it wasn't because they were stupid. It was just because they were struggling. And he thought, if we have a lot of tests of different things, we can pinpoint where they're going wrong and then help them. You know, so it wasn't like as it's become since, like, you know, an IQ test is where you get pretty much get a number and it's like a curse or a blessing you've got for your life. He came with the idea of IQ testing as a way of, you know, particularly targeting kids who are struggling now with, I don't know, numeracy or reading and stuff like that. And the tests would show that where they were weak and where they were strong and where they could be helped. And I think, you know, how his tests have been used subsequently in his, you know, after his life, after he died, he'd be rolling in his grave because they were just so, they'd been used for the most awful kind of racist and, you know, eugenic means of selecting people and deselecting people in the most horrific ways. Awful.
Though, doesn't an IQ test just tell whether you're good at IQ tests or not, rather than being an actual test of intelligence?
It doesn't. Exactly. In fact, you know, the one of the leading proponents of IQ testing, the hilariously named Professor Edward Boring, he said, IQ tests just test, you know, intelligence is what IQ tests test for. So it's just absolutely circular. And I think that's my problem with, you know, throughout the book I write about how sad it is that we just think of intelligence and by extension stupidity in these cognitive terms. We don't think about, you know, stuff like emotional intelligence, which is something that, again, you know, ancient philosophers would think, you know, they think, there's a failure of your soul if you don't empathize with people. You know, if you don't, that's such a form of stupidity, and that should be accounted for. And actually, when you flash forward to the Nazi era, the Nazis had really high IQs. You know, like the leading Nazis who were the architects of the Holocaust, they had really high IQs, but what they didn't have was any human empathy. And when, you know, the great philosopher Hannah Arendt watched Adolf Eichmann, who was one of these leading Nazis, being tried for mass murder in Jerusalem, what she saw was, when she looked at him, was stupidity, because he was stupid in that, you know, he could organize a Holocaust, he could do all the bureaucracy, but he couldn't empathize with people, and that lack of empathy made him, for her, and I think she's right about this, you know, really stupid.
That's interesting. So stupid rather than evil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the two terms are separate. I mean, I think she would see him as evil as well. But, you know, she would certainly see him as both stupid and evil. But isn't it odd that, you know, stupidity is just seen for us, it's become something which is not to do with evil or not to do with bad moral behaviour. It's just something, you know, you can't do maths or you can't do, you know, you're bad at grammar or whatever. Whereas she would see it as being about the whole person, how they live and how they relate to, you know, particularly how they relate to other people.
Yeah. Now, you said we're living in a golden age of stupidity. One could argue that perhaps that's a lot to do with digital media, with the internet. That's had a magnifying effect on stupidity.
Yeah, it has.
Why hasn't it had a magnifying effect on intelligence?
Well, it's partly because we outsource stuff. You know, this is what we do with a lot of technology. You know, we think we're extending our powers. You know, we think, you know, technology is helping us conquer more of the world, you know, and you know, we can do more stuff and we can get to Mars and all that. But actually it changes us. And then, you know, then you get to the point where, you know, where you can't actually change, literally in my case, you can't change a light bulb. And, you know, because like when I was a kid, you know, there would be bayonets, you know, and there'd be screw-in bulbs. That's all there'd be. And it was easy to change. And then we got some, in our bedroom, we got some, you know, those recessed lighting things.
Yeah.
That lasted for ages. And then I had one boom, I couldn't get it changed. And I had to get, you know, props to my electrician, James. He came and fixed it. But, you know, I've been effectively de-skilled and made more stupid by the evolution of lighting technology. It's like when I was a kid and my dad would, like, you know, be under the bonnet of his car. Nobody does that anymore. You know, you wouldn't dare go under the bonnet of a new car because you wouldn't know what to do, and you've effectively been made more stupid by the evolution of technology.
God, that's terrifying. The name of the book is A Short History of Stupidity. Stuart Jeffries, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.